Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Three-Peat Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Mondo. Times are crazy right now. Of course, we're going to talk about sports. We're going to touch on a little bit of everything that's been going on lately. I want to know how y'all feel right now. I assume you've been watching Michael Jordan's documentary, The Last Dance. It's been really great. I don't know about you guys, but me, you know, I'm younger. I'm 25. So there's a lot of this stuff I didn't get to see, and I was just a kid and didn't know what was going on. So I've been thoroughly enjoying, you know, going back and seeing his progression as a player in high school, you know, going to college, getting drafted and playing for the Bulls. It's been an experience for me. I've like I said, I've thoroughly been enjoying it. What do y'all think? Has this changed your outlook or opinion on him, for better or for worse, with the whole Jerry Krause situation, the whole Pippen thing? I mean, I really want to know how this has changed your outlook, or if it has changed it or not. It might not have. I don't want to get to comparing. We're not going to talk about LeBron James, really, because number one, it's not about him. It's about Mike. I think at the end of the series, we'll go ahead and revisit and maybe do a little bit of a comparison. But for now, I just want to enjoy the series for what it is. Take it all in. Look at his career highlights. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of things in this documentary for me personally that I won't have known or didn't know. Or just things that I maybe overlooked, like these first couple episodes already. Like I said, I didn't know the whole Jerry Krause thing, the relationship he had. Sorry, I had to get a little water there. I didn't know the relationship he had with Mike and vice versa, and Pippen sitting out on his injury because of the contract. I didn't know any of that. And just watching a lot of these highlights, you know, get on YouTube, you'll put on some highlights, but sitting there watching it with the context of what was going on during the playoffs or during the season, turmoil with the team, it really, I don't know, it's a lot different than just getting on YouTube or typing into Google, you know, Michael Jordan highlights, Scottie Pippen highlights, Dennis Rodman highlights. It was just, you know, it really does a lot. This is ESPN at their best. They really do stuff like this great. So I want to know what y'all think, how y'all feel about it. I know the next episode's coming out this Sunday. It's going to be tough for everybody to watch. It's going to be tough for me personally with Kobe in it, because Kobe was one of the people growing up. When I was watching basketball, I personally, you know, raised in Dallas, born in San Antonio, I didn't pay attention to a whole lot of basketball outside of the Mavericks. You know, Dirk, Nash, you got Finley, you know, I watched all of that. So I wasn't exposed to a whole lot aside from, you know, highlight clips when you watch NBC Sports or ESPN on the weekends. Outside of the highlight clips that I would watch as a kid, I didn't have a lot of exposure to a lot of other NBA teams or NBA players, except for the one and only Kobe Bryant. And I know this is probably going to be, for me personally, like I said, it's going to be hard for me to watch this with him just because of the attachment I had to him. Looking up to him, watching him, appreciating his game, his mentality, what he brought to basketball, the appeal he had. It's going to be tough for me to watch these next two episodes. I don't know if they're both going to have him in it or just one. It's going to be tough for me. Because when I watched Kobe's last game, I was glued to the TV. I didn't change the channel for anything except commercials. And, you know, when they won and he scored his last bucket and everything, I was sitting in the living room crying. It was big for me because like I said, outside of the Mavericks, that was one of the, that was the guy. You know how a lot of people talk about Mike. I couldn't, of course, I liked Mike. I had seen highlights and stuff, but I didn't get to live through everything. I got to live through and see a lot more of what Kobe had done. So I had a really big attachment to him as a player and, you know, looking up to him. So watching that last game was, oh man, it was just awesome watching everything, him going off. And it was just, man, it was really something to watch. It was a spectacle to watch. And it was emotional for me. You know, and then the news, everything that happened recently with his daughter, and the, you know, the pilot, the family, friends, their parents, you know, everyone that had passed away, rest in peace. It really hurt a lot of people. Just because of, like I said, the impact, he really was a global phenomenon. And, you know, a lot of people liked him. Not a lot of people had bad things to say about him, you know. So it was just a huge loss. And everybody, so many people miss him. And it was, I think it was just even more sad because Gigi was just getting into, she was just kind of coming into her own as a player and starting to hit her strides and be who she was going to be. And, you know, I feel so bad for, you know, the families of all of those who passed. And I know they're all still grieving, and I know this whole pandemic hasn't really helped or made it any easier. So, you know, prayers to them, prayers to those that have passed. So these next two episodes are going to be difficult to watch. Like I said, I don't know about for you guys personally, you girls personally. For me, it's going to be kind of tough. Yeah, it's not going to be easy at all. So we'll see what happens in these next two episodes. You know, we'll watch them, and eyes are going to be glued to the TV. I hadn't sat and watched anything on TV that intently. I can't even remember. Anytime this comes on, I'm just glued to the screen. I can't really look away. I don't want to miss it. So this is, it's like I said, it's really interesting. It gives me personally a lot of insight on things that Jordan did and these other, you know, just things that happened throughout his career and his, as he progressed. So I've been enjoying this. I can't wait. I want you guys to let me know, maybe if there's something specific you're looking forward to that they haven't covered, or what's something that they covered that you just thought was mind-blowing or you felt really strongly about, you liked or didn't like. I want y'all to go ahead and let me know. So enough about that. We're going to move on. Obviously, there was the NFL draft. I want to know what you guys think some of the surprises were. I want to know who y'all thought dropped the ball. Who did really good. I think, you know, the Cowboys getting CeeDee Lamb at 17. I thought that was really, I can't believe it happened. I was pretty shocked that he fell to 17. But I'm also shocked the Eagles didn't maybe try and trade up to get him. I don't know. This was, I don't do a whole lot of college evaluation and, you know, monitoring players and this and that. I'll keep an eye out for some of the bigger ones. Football is not really my forte in that aspect. So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and be like, oh, well, you know what? This team did great. This team did great. And this team, they should have done this. No, I'm not going to bullshit you on that. Like I said, it's not what I'm good at. I'm trying to learn a little bit more, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you this team did great. This team did horrible. And that's my draft analysis. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about a little bit what I know. Cowboys getting CeeDee Lamb at 17 was pretty, it was surprising. Cowboys fans are ecstatic. Eagles, I know, because as many people, as many Cowboys fans as there are twice as many that don't really like the Cowboys, and a lot of them are Eagles fans. Understandable. So yeah, the draft, it was, how did y'all like the format? Y'all think they maybe should have just waited, or I want to know y'all's thoughts on that also. I thought it was really weird. It didn't feel the same. I know, of course, they couldn't have held it at a location and had everyone dress up and family and interviews. You know, it's not the same, of course. I think they could have even toned it down and made it a little quicker. I don't think people wanted to sit and watch it that much. I think they could have cut a lot of the fat. So, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't a fan of it, but I know that they were just trying their best given the circumstances of the pandemic and COVID-19. One other thing I do want to touch on before we move on from the draft. I want to touch on how ESPN and different people, when they talk about a player, or they talk about a player who's about to get drafted, and they want to bring up like the hardships they faced. I just really think it's in bad taste for ESPN or NBC, whoever, Fox, any of them to talk about hardships that a player faced, like a mother passing away, a family member being a drug addict, and, you know, any crazy stuff like that. I really think they need to stop covering that and stop talking about it. Number one, 9 times out of 10, it's a minority. You know, it's a black kid or a Hispanic kid. It's not your middle class or, you know, it's not your middle class white kid or the kid that didn't really have any problems whose family had money. No, it's always either the black or Hispanic kid or another minority kid that they want to, oh, well, you know what? This is what he's been through. His father left him. His mother left him. His brother's in jail. You know, it's always some bullshit. And it's not necessary. We don't need to know. I don't need to know that. I want to know how the kid played, what he did in the school. Now, if he happened to get in trouble, even then, maybe. If he was accused of something, I went to court, and the case got thrown out, I don't want to hear about it. I don't. The case was thrown out. Not guilty. Whatever it is, the case was thrown out. If it was repeated behavior, that's understandable. But if it was a one-time thing and it got settled, there wasn't any evidence, he was found not guilty, whatever, I don't really want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about that, and I don't want to hear about the hardships. It's not really any of our business. If we want to know that, obviously it's not too hard to find the information out there. I want all of the outlets to focus on the kids, not, you know, 20, 25, I'm not grown. No, they're not kids. You know what I mean. I don't want them to do these players like that. We don't need to know that information. If we want to do an in-depth look on our own, if you are interested in any of that, you want to know any of that, go right ahead. You can look it up. I'm sure you can find it. There's no reason for the general public to know any hardships they faced or anything about problems they've had with you know, the law or anything. We don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. I want to know, what did he do in college? What did he do in high school? His accomplishments, his accolades. That's what I want to know. It's a draft. We're focusing on the sport. I want y'all to focus on the sport. I don't want to know that. Let the NFL execs, owners, and coaches, let them worry about all that shit. Let them worry about it. It's not our business. It doesn't need to be publicized, like I said. If anyone wants to find it out, I'm pretty sure you can go find out yourself. So I really, really wish and hope that they start to pull away from that. Because also, like I said, it's hardly ever about any white kids. It's always the black or Hispanic kids that you hear some shit like that with. And it's you when you do that to these players, I need to stop saying kids, these players, these athletes. When you start saying that about these athletes, you get a lot of people to make these assumptions and opinions without even actually knowing the player. We all do that to a certain extent, but when you bring up, like I said, all these incidents and hardships, it's none of our business. It really isn't. Like I said, if they want to share that later or it comes out later in their career, okay. I don't need you to tell me that before they've even made it to the NFL. I don't want to hear it. I think y'all need to stop doing that shit. So, next, as you know, sports have been pretty dead. Well, you know what? Hold on. Before we even get to that, how many of y'all, I want to know how many of y'all watched the WNBA draft? Did you watch it? Why did or didn't you watch it? I'm making a promise to myself because I do love basketball. Basketball is my favorite sport. I'm going to make it a point to do a better job of keeping up with the WNBA. I'm going to say this. Their marketing team, whoever is in charge of their marketing, players are somewhat, I think they're a little bit at fault too. They're doing a horrible job. And I want to say this because look at Ice Cube's Big Three. This is going in what, its second or third season, and look how popular it is. Look how much it's blown up. It's great. It's amazing. I went the first season they did it at American Airlines Center. I went. I had a bunch of fun. I was there with my little brother. It was awesome. The WNBA, it's just their marketing. I don't know what it is. But and why I say it's their players as well. I don't think their players put themselves out there as much as a lot of the NBA athletes. A lot of the NBA athletes, you know, you always see them on social media or on a lot of them like to stream video games. They're on Twitch, Instagram, Twitter. You know, you'll see them. And I understand that there is a discrepancy in coverage, that the male athletes do get covered more. But like I said, I think the WNBA athletes should also try and put themselves out there more and not just kind of depend on the WNBA or any of their sponsors to do it for them. I think they need to be out there. Make yourself visible. It makes people want to see. Another thing, I don't like when people badmouth the WNBA. I think you maybe watch it for different purposes. Are you going to see a lot of their athletes dribbling like Kyrie? No. Are you going to see a lot of the athletes in the WNBA dunking? No. Now this is where they come in strong. Are you one of those people that complains about the NBA because all they do is shoot threes and, you know, nobody plays defense? If you're one of those people, oh, man, go watch the NBA. Go watch the WNBA. I would say top to bottom, the defense is better. I would say there's less of the dependency on the three ball in the WNBA. There's a lot more movement and plays, off-ball movement, passing. There's a lot to enjoy in the WNBA. Don't just badmouth it. Give it a shot. Go watch it. Like I said, especially if you're one of those people that can't stand how basketball is played today. Oh, I can't stand it. All they do is shoot. Oh, it's run and gun. No, go watch the WNBA then. Don't complain about it. You can find an alternative. So, like I said, I'm going to make a promise to myself to watch more WNBA basketball. Let's see. Now, I want to get into a little bit. How do y'all feel about video games / esports? It's a debate that still goes on today. Esports are becoming more prevalent in mainstream media. You have NBA teams who own 2K, NBA 2K teams. You have NFL teams. I think there's some that own Madden teams. Esports tournaments are becoming televised. I want to know what y'all think about... Do y'all consider esports a sport? I want to know what y'all think about that. Me, personally, I don't think so. I think, of course, it takes skill to play at a high level at any of those games. At NBA 2K, Madden, League of Legends, Dota, Overwatch, Rocket League. Yes, it takes extreme amounts of skill to do it. I still don't consider it a sport. And I'm not just one of those people that's trying to shit on anybody that's a part of that community. I play a lot of video games. I play a lot of video games. I used to play basketball. I don't consider it a sport. Number one, it's... Video games, they're a privilege. A lot of lower income communities, and it's a lot of minority communities, can't always afford to have access to internet, to Wi-Fi. I know we take that for granted, but there are a lot of people who still don't have access to it, or if they do have access to it, it's not very good internet or Wi-Fi. I think just look at any console. A Switch you can get for, that's $300. It's just a Switch. Maybe you get a game with it, and it comes with the controllers. Xbox One. Of course, this is new generation stuff is about to come out. But when it's brand new, you're talking $300, $400, $500, and that's before you get an extra controller, before you get a game. Before you buy any, a headset. And let's not get started on PCs. PCs can be crazy expensive. So I think number one, it's a privilege. It's not accessible to everybody. Number two, I understand that there is the mental exhaustion aspect, but you don't, like I said, it's hard for me personally to call it a sport when there's not, you don't have to be in shape. You don't have to go running. You don't have to lift weights. There's not a particular skill you have to work on. Yes, you have to play and practice a game. You're sitting in a chair. You're sitting there playing the game for hours, learning this and that. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. For me, part of it is the lack of the physical aspect in the game. Because I'll say this, and people are going to give me flack for it, whatever. Anyone can sit, I'd say, for a year or two on any title, League of Legends, Overwatch, Rocket League, name it. You sit for a year and you put, even 3 or 4 hours, like 5 days a week, and you play with the intention, you play with the intent to actually get better at whatever game, I think you can do it. You can't do that with, you can try, but it's totally different with basketball, football, soccer, gymnastics. Like, there's so much more to it than just, I'm just going to go play basketball. Going to play basketball doesn't just get you better at it. There's so many aspects of it you have to look at. You have to work on defense. You have to work on your footwork. That applies to soccer, too. That applies to football. That applies to every sport. For basketball, you have to work on your shooting, your dribbling, your court vision. You have to work on your knowledge and IQ and how to apply it, when to apply it. For soccer, you have to work on your field vision. You have to work on your passing, your dribbling, your body control. There's just so much. You can name any sport, and there's a lot of individual skills in that sport that you have to work on to perfect. And we have internet access. We can look up a lot of stuff, but you also need someone to kind of train you. You need someone who's done it at a certain level or has enough knowledge to help you get better and improve at what you're trying to work on. You can look up stuff, but it's almost like when you lift weights, like you can look up a video on how to do this or how to do that, and you can end up doing it, but you might be doing it really fucked up and be hurting yourself or doing it improper, and you might not know it. The same thing applies to practicing for any sport. You can look it up and do it yourself, but that doesn't mean you're doing it properly, and you could be building bad habits. So, like I said, I personally don't consider video games sport. I love video games. I play them a lot. I don't think it's a sport. I've heard the reflex argument as well. Reflexes in a video game, I'd have to do more research personally. I don't see having quick reflexes in a video game translating to the real world. I don't see it. I have to do research, but I don't see how being able to, you know, quickly turn around in a video game or see something and turn around or make a movement equates to you having that kind of reaction time in the real world. Doesn't mean that they don't. I just, like I said, I don't see how that equates. You know, it's on the screen. Move your thumb or your fingers and make the movement, and then that's kind of it. To have that reaction time in real world applications or real life, you know, it's body movements. You know, you have to move your foot, you have to drop your foot, you have to shift your weight, you have to raise or lower a hand. So, like I said, I want to know what you guys think, what y'all think. If y'all consider esports a sport or why they're not a sport, I'd like to know what y'all think. And before we get out of here, you guys reach out to me, social media, Twitter at Lucky Lefty Mondo. I'm going to have a page up for, I'm going to have a Twitter, maybe an Instagram page up for this soon, for specifically for the podcast. I want y'all to let me know what things you have been doing to keep yourself occupied during the quarantine. It's May 1st. Well, by the time you hear this, it'll be May 2nd. Texas is technically open. I know I'm not going to go outside anywhere. Too many people that aren't wearing masks. And I'm not going to be going outside much except for, you know, I need to do some grocery shopping or do this or that. I want to know what you guys have been doing to keep yourselves occupied. Have you been, you pick up a new hobby, you've been staying with your tried and true hobby? What is it? Me personally, I've been, like I said, talking about games and esports. I've been playing my video games. I collect and read comic books. I've been doing that. I sell a little bit on the side to kind of pay for what I buy. So that's kind of what I've been doing. My family rides bikes and I'll get out there and jog with them. So y'all let me know what y'all have been doing. Did you learn something new? Are you trying something new? You try painting, you try any kind of sculpting, have you built something? Y'all let me know what y'all are doing to kind of try and stay sane during these crazy times. So that's it for this episode. I want y'all to be safe, wash your hands, don't be touching on your face. If you know somebody that needs help, try and help them or contact an agency that might be able to help them. I know this has been a struggle for a lot of people financially. So, like I said, if you're able to help someone, please do, or try and reach out to an agency that might be able to help them. We got to help take care of each other, y'all. We can't just turn an eye. You know, this is humanity at its best when we can try and help up those who are in need. So like I said, y'all be safe, stay blessed, and we'll see you next time.